For CJLO News, I'm Harley Martin. Schools across Quebec are expected to be renovated after an announcement from Education Minister Jean-François Roberge on Sunday. Quebec will invest $2.3 billion to restore 60% of schools across the province by 2022. That's in addition to the $1.7 billion investment for school construction announced by the CAQ earlier this year. Green Party leader Elizabeth May made headlines over the weekend after she announced she would completely decriminalize drug possession if elected. May made the announcement on Saturday in Manitoba, where methamphetamine-related death rates have exploded in recent years. She said any decriminalization could be lifted should opioid-related deaths go down. Tanzania is withholding medical information of patients experiencing Ebola-like symptoms. That's according to the World Health Organization, who released a statement on Saturday saying Tanzania has not responded to several requests for information regarding a possible Ebola outbreak in the area. The Tanzanian government has maintained there have been no cases of the disease. To hear the news and learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
CJLO is a college community radio station broadcasting out of the Loyola campus of Concordia University in Montreal, Quebec. We broadcast at 1690 kHz on the AM dial and have a transmitter with 1000 watts of power. The views expressed on air do not reflect CJLO. Any views expressed during a show are those of the DJ and not of the station as a whole or its management. If you would like to find out more, please visit our website at cjlo.com. Thanks for your support and keep listening to CJLO 1690 AM, Montreal's underground radio.
Talento, fortuna, esperienza, impegno, costanza, coerenza. Tra genio e follia c'è poca differenza, hanno lo stesso punto di partenza. Ma se sei solo e ti perdi e non va come vorresti tu, non c'è un navigatore né un tutorial su YouTube. È bello se ti riconoscono, è bello se vai in TV, ma è meno bello quando sei tu che non ti riconosci più. Tutto è più facile visto dagli occhi degli altri, perché quando non sei tu che piangi, gli occhi sono meno rossi e meno grandi. Se vinci ti vogliono bene, ti fanno la ola, ti cantano un coro. La vittoria è una cosa di squadra, ma se perdi, perdi da solo. Per ogni ballerina che ha male i piedi e si medica, per ogni calciatore che risparmia per le scarpe nuove, ogni studente che non mangia si dimentica, o musicista che anche da stanco va in sala prove. Per ogni sportivo, artista, regista, scrittore, fotografo, astronauta, cantante o disegnatore, se c'è riuscito uno possiamo farlo tutti. Il tuo sudore, la tua occasione, che fai, la butti? Nulla è impossibile se credi quello.
Senti, lays it back for Brozovic. It's deflected and deflected in. It's Inter who strike first in the derby just after half time. The ball with a space to Brevera. Been picked up there by Mivan. The Koko! 2-0 on his derby debut. A goal for Romelu Lukaku.
Welcome back to the Calcio Guys. You heard just there the highlights of the Derby della Madonnina as Inter beat Milan 2-0. And it's rare now that we have an Inter fan join us online here on the Calcio Guys. With Adriano DiNardo, I'm Nicholas DiGiovanni, and we have Danielle Lucerin from Inter Football Daily on Instagram on the line with us. And straight off the bat, you know, I got to ask, as we do with most of our guests, how did you get into liking Inter and your passion for Italian soccer?
Well, first of all, the credit goes to my best friend, Elliot, or as we all know him in our group chat, 24/7 Italian football. We met 4 years ago. Ironically, it was through a former sport that I used to love called American football. If most people don't know that he actually hates the Packers, and at the time I was a huge Packers fan. So one day he had commented under one of our another mutual friends of ours post saying Packers suck, whatever. And so eventually we started talking, getting to know each other. And one day he was watching a post-match analysis of a club we both share interest in, Aston Villa. He was watching a player by the name of the leading scorer of at the time, Christian Benteke. And Christian Benteke is a huge follower of God, which is one thing that's also very important to me. So he said, if my friend Danielle Larson was ever into this sport, she would like this guy because he takes his walk with Christ very seriously. And so at the time, I'm like, okay, I never thought about getting into football, but I'm like, might as well learn, expand my sports knowledge, whatnot. So when he tell me the rules, regulations, anything that I need to know about football, and of course, I've only been into the sport going on 5 years, so I'm still learning. So eventually, at the time, in Aston Villa was the first club that kind of got me into the sport. But at the time, I was also experimenting, seeing where I found my niche, if you will. So eventually, at the time, I'm like, looking at Serie A, I'm like, okay. And I did research and stuff, and Elliot helped me with that. And I kind of found my home at Inter because we both have like this an underdog story, and I'm a huge underdog story in the making, as you've seen in Elliot's article for the 500th one he did. So I also found out that we also are very simple. We're laid back. We don't tolerate the racism, which is one point I will eventually talk on in a later project. So for those who don't know, that project's coming. But yeah, that's pretty much how I got into Inter, and I've been an Inter supporter for about a little over three years. And with Inter, it's just like the passion is just amazing. The atmosphere, as you see during Milan derbies, it's insane. And I just love everything about the sport.
You know, there's an expression in sports, if you're going to support a team through its lows, you have to... Or if you want to support a team through their highs, you have to support them through their lows first. Past 3 years for Inter haven't been the best. You know, you didn't get to see them win the Champions League, but now they're on the up. So at least you could say you were there for some of the lower years, right?
Yes, I could definitely say that.
And so obviously this weekend, Derby della Madonnina. I mean, obviously big win for Inter. Just happy. How happy were you with that?
I was definitely happy. I kind of figured that result would come, even though it wouldn't be an easy one. But, of course, Milan have been struggling as of recently. But either way, that was really one of Inter's first challenges going in as the season progresses. So that was a huge win to get a win over our rivals. And, of course, later on next week, we're going to be facing our next challenge in Lazio. If we Inter continue the path that they're going down, they could possibly win that match, but it's still too early to tell until I do the article.
And so, obviously, Lukaku got his first goal. I mean, he's integrated pretty well into the team.
I think he's integrated well into the team. Of course, he's still there. When you're a new player, obviously, with anything, you're going to need a couple weeks during the regular season to, like, gel with your other teammates. Because, like, Martinez, he was coming off of the Copa America, I believe it was, or the Gold Cup, one of those two tournaments. So he didn't come into practice until late, so it kind of gave them a late start. But as the weeks progressed, they both are seeming to work well up top, and I don't see them letting up anytime soon.
And Icardi came out this weekend and said he wanted to go to PSG to win trophies. Seeing that Inter's 4-0 and winning games, how did that make you feel?
To be honest, though, I'm over the Icardi drama. What is done is done. He said, oh, I signed for PSG to win titles, whatever. Well, I'm like, then that really showed that you weren't really dedicated to Inter, because if you were really dedicated, you would have done everything in your power to win a title for us. But as it is what it is. It's in the past, and I just hope everybody can move forward.
And obviously Antonio Conte came this summer. I mean, he came from the rival Juventus. Like, how did that make you feel at first, and what have you liked so far from him tactically?
Well, at first I was skeptical, but of course I didn't get into football until like after his Juventus time, so I really had no feelings about it, but I was just happy that we got a new manager, although that I did really like Luciano Spalletti, but of course his contract was up and it was unsure of what they were going to do with him, so unfortunately they let him go, and so they brought in Conte. I think tactic-wise, I'm still learning this area, but he has really helped shape the team into a better product, because not only does he not tolerate drama, which could be an issue performing, he is also doing a great job like making them do constant practice, whereas some coaches tend to like ease up on the reins. So he makes them actually work and actually put in the effort, which is actually reflecting now on the pitch.
Yeah, obviously that was Conte's mentality, even when he was playing. And then obviously he's really helped out Stefano Sensi and Nicolò Barella in the midfield. How have you liked their play this season?
Barella, to be honest, is a little overhyped, but if we give him time, he could become the player that this club desperately needs in the midfield. But overall, Sensi, oh my gosh, he has almost scored in every single Serie A match this season. And if he's needed in the defensive role, he's good at blocking opponents' chances. He's good at tackles. And then, of course, on the offensive aspect, he's good with assists and creating chances of his own, which have also sometimes have ended up in him scoring, as I mentioned a few seconds ago. I'm actually impressed with him. I hope they sign him as a full-time player at the end of the season, because to have him go back to Sassuolo would definitely be a loss.
So what do you say, Barella is overrated?
It's like there are some players like, me and 24/7 Italia Football were talking about this player a couple weeks ago. I hate when my brain shorts out, though, but everybody was like, oh, Barella's going to be the next big thing. He's going to do all this, that, and the other thing, but really he hasn't shown much, like, potential yet. So right now, to me, he's a bunch of hype, and hopefully my opinion changes as the weeks go on, and I hope to see him develop as that player we need. But until then, it's all talk and no action.
And the defense, obviously, big three, De Vries, Skriniar, and Godin. How have you found their play this year?
So far, they've been doing a really solid job. I definitely prefer Godin over Danilo D'Ambrosio. I think I botched the names. I'm still learning how to pronounce them. But I think he does a better job than Danilo in some cases, but of course, Danilo is still a good defender when certain teams, he's facing certain clubs. Like, if he's facing a relegation side, he does tend to do better. But when it comes to challenges, the experience definitely goes to Godin, who has really helped shift the defense into what it is currently.
Last week, 1-0 draw against Slavia Prague in the Champions League. Fair to say that was a disappointment for Inter?
To be honest, it was kind of a disappointment, as they were probably the only team that they could have beaten, but didn't. Because now they're going to be facing the likes of Borussia Dortmund and Barcelona, who are known to, like, make very limited mistakes. and they will be all over Inter if they're not careful.
So do you see Inter coming out of the group at all?
To be honest, I don't think the Inter is going to come out of the group at all. I think they'll end up in Europa League, and if worst case scenario, they make it to the round of eight. That's the best case scenario, is they win the whole thing.
And so obviously every year, you know, between Inter, Napoli, Roma, all the big teams, everyone talks about how to beat Juventus. Inter has that game coming up in 2 weeks. How do you think they're going to beat the reigning champions of Italy?
Well, first of all, they're going to need to definitely look over tapes of Juventus, see where they're the weakest, see where their strengths are that they couldn't. Because, like, if you look at, I get a lot of my research for the games through a website called WhoScored.com. And if you scroll, you click on the match that you want to research and stuff, and then you scroll all the way to the right, and it goes to a thing called characteristics. So it shows you, like, the team's strengths and weaknesses and stuff. And every time you go to Juventus, they have no issues. Like, they have no weaknesses at all, but they have a whole list of strengths in their arsenal. If Inter can look at those strengths and utilize that to their advantage, they could possibly win it. But out of that match, however, I do think the best case scenario for them would be a draw.
And so you said you've been an Inter fan for 3 years. Do you have a favorite moment as a Inter fan?
Oh, for only the short amount of years that I've been into football and an Inter fan, I would have to say when Inter finally made it back to the Champions League since the 2010 season, which was last season.
Like the game against Lazio, where they qualified, or just the overall experience?
Where they qualified, where they beat Lazio to qualify, because, I mean, I wasn't there during the good times. So I'm like, for me, that was huge. Since I'm like, I wish I had gotten, as I always say, I got into the sport too late. But as my friend Elliot says, you just got into it. You may have gotten into it later, but the passion is still there.
Perfectly said. That's what we're all about in Calcio. Anyways, thanks for taking your time, Danielle.
No problem. It was a pleasure.
Have a good one.
Bye.
That was Danielle Lucerin here on the Calcio Guys. Coming up next, Adriano DiNardo finally joins us in studio to talk about the Derby della Mano, Nina, but just from the other side of the rivalry.
Check out Concordia Store's back-to-school deals. Huge savings on all of your back-to-school essentials, supplies, tech accessories, and Concordia gear. Show your color with the Concordia crew at $24.99 or a $29.99 hoodie. Plus, save 25% on all backpacks. Concordia Stores. Find everything you need for school in stores or online at concordiastores.ca.
Nine out of 10 doctors recommend a steady diet of heavy metal riffs. And that last guy is a poser. So tune in to Sin After Sin, 10 p.m. every Wednesday for your weekly dose of old school earth-shattering metal. Only on CJLO.
Consuming riffs may cause whiplash and or liver failure. Please headbang responsibly.
This is Matthew O'Hain from CJLO Sports and The Starting Rotation. And I know you probably don't like being told what to do, and neither do I. Now, I'm not saying or telling you to listen to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal, but 46% of people who listen to CJLO report higher life satisfaction and increased sexual activity. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
That's it, Matt. Better life satisfaction if you listen to CJLO. Even better if you listen to the Calcio Guys here on CJLO 1690 with Adriano DiNardo. I'm Nicholas DiGiovanni. So we just talked to Danielle about Inter and their win in the Derby della Madonnina. Another win for Inter. That's, I believe, three in a row. Obviously, Adriano, you were at Chicharos with Milan Club Montreal this past weekend, and it must have been a somber mood
Yeah, I mean, probably the only positive of the game was you know, with my brothers there at Milan Club Montreal, at Barchicharo and Saint-Léonard here in Montreal. I mean, what do you want me to tell you? The team didn't show up in the derby once again. I mean, totally pissed off mood, I guess. But I mean, it's sad because, you know, I know these important games, you know, this season happen to come early, but nonetheless, it's a derby. It's a total different beast than any other game, I find, especially the Derby della Madonnina. It's probably one of the biggest derbies in Italy. So I don't know. It was just sad to see there was not really many positives from Gianpaolo to the players to the performance on the pitch. I think it was just a constant zero, I guess, all over the place. So maybe the only bright spot I would think and I would say is probably the inclusion of Leao in the starting lineup. He kind of brought a bit of a spark on the left hand side. I mean, didn't do enough to merit anything great because we didn't get on the score sheet, but I think his performance was above par. And obviously Donnarumma in the back, I mean, keeping us in this game. I think I don't remember if it was, who was it? Was it Cassano or was it Bobo Vieri that said if it wasn't for him, the game would have been 5-6 nothing.
I think it was Vieri.
Vieri, yeah, for Inter. So
on
tiki-taka, yes. So yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for Gigio in the back, I think it would have been probably a worse defeat. But I mean, it just another you know, sad moment, I guess you can say, for Milan fans. There wasn't, as I said, many positives. I think Gianpaolo has to really make a change and make a change quick and get his philosophy out to the players a lot quicker, because this process, I don't know how long it's going to last and how long he's going to last if that's the case. So yeah, I mean, 2-0 on the score sheet. It's a derby. It was sad, but I mean, on to the next one. I think if Milan can turn the page against Torino and Fiorentina on the short week that we have for Serie A this weekend, I don't think it'll all be forgotten, but I think it'll be a step in the right direction.
So now that's two wins and two losses for new coach Marco Gianpaolo.
Yeah,
we had a question on our Instagram, the Calcio Guys.
Yeah,
on our Instagram story. Will Gianpaolo last past this season? I know it's super early to tell, but based on Milan and their willingness to fire coaches so soon into their career, do you think in a year from now we're still going to be talking about Marco Gianpaolo and Milan?
Well, listen, I mean, first off, thank you for the question. I think it was our friend there, Joseph, at Calcio Fan Blogs, I believe, on Twitter and Instagram, that sent in that question. So thanks for that. But I don't know. I mean, first off, we have to see if he's even going to last this this next couple of months, next couple of weeks, you know. So as you said, it's still early. Everything is very early. I mean, look at another team that I've been really behind in Fiorentina, that, you know, they're in the bottom of the table with only, I believe, 2 points. Montella is still there. That project is still going. So, I mean, I think, you know, it's a process. It's a process that fans have to buy into, the players have to buy into, and the manager's really got to have his ideas clear and set them straight. I mean, I don't like the whole, okay, after a couple of games, get rid of the manager. I mean, I don't think that's the solution to the problem. You know, with the working with the players, working with the management, the coach as well. I mean, as a cohesive group, I think is the way to, you know, to solve these issues. But I think part of it is also maybe Gianpaolo being a bit stubborn. Obviously, we know he's from that Sarri class of coaches, and we all know how Sarri is with his players, and we've seen it in the past and now in the present as well. So they're a bit, you know, they don't really shake the lineup. They're a bit stubborn. Their philosophy takes a bit more time to develop rather than maybe a coach like Conte at the moment at Inter. So I think. I mean, for me personally, I would keep him the rest of the way. Does he, depending on how the team finishes, do they get into Champions League? Do they get maybe third place? Do they get into Europa League? Do they miss out of Europe completely? I think those are all factors that are going to play a huge part into seeing if Gianpaolo sticks around or not.
It's funny, you said the only bright spot for Milan was Leao, and you did mention
Donnarumma. Yeah.
But I think for me, he was definitely the only player that showed up for Milan, and obviously it is frustrating for this club to be beat by rivals time and time again.
Yeah,
obviously,
yeah. Especially seven derbies in a row, and we got on the end, on the wrong side of the stick. So it's a tough pill to swallow for sure. I think obviously we were a bit unlucky at the beginning of the game too, with that whole apparently hit off Kessie's arm, and then I think it was Hakan who scored the goal. But I don't know. There's little things that in the derby you need the luck, you need the tactics, you need the grinta, you need everything to go together to come out on top, and that's what unfortunately Inter had this weekend.
So we're in a really good time for Calcio right now.
Yeah.
Starting from last week and through next week, almost every single day, there's some form of soccer, whether it be Serie A, Champions League, Europa League. I think yesterday there was no soccer. Possibly next Friday, I need to check the Serie A schedule.
I know Milan plays Thursday, and then...
Okay, so there's no soccer on Saturday. Okay, so starting from today,
so Tuesday,
through
yeah.
next Thursday, yeah. so we're Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tuesday, there's two games. Verona, Udinese, Brescia, Juventus. Tomorrow is Wednesday. There are seven more games. Wednesday, there's one game, Torino, Milan.
Yeah.
Friday, no soccer. Fine. Saturday,
three
more games. Sunday, six more games. Monday, one more game. Tuesday, Champions League. Wednesday, Champions League. Thursday, Europa League. Friday, the 4th, Brescia, Sassuolo. Saturday, Sunday, all the way through Sunday, October 6th.
So all that to say, there's going to be a lot of Calcio to watch. So sit down.
Enjoy your Friday.
Enjoy every day.
Enjoy your Friday, because that's the day you could go shopping or actually do something.
Yeah.
Anyways, there was Champions League last week.
Yeah.
Match day one, and included this win from Napoli.
Wooden Van Dijk has poked it back, and Llorente's in! Napoli are going to open up their Champions League campaign with a famous victory.
Second year in a row, Napoli beats Liverpool at home in the Champions League. We know what happened last year. If you lose at the San Paolo, it means you go on to win the Champions League. But I feel like Napoli is going to have a different mentality and mindset for the rest of the group stage this year, knowing what happened last year where nothing's guaranteed.
No, absolutely. I mean, you said it perfectly. I think last year they kind of shot themselves in the foot. I think especially, I forget now the team it was against, Shakhtar, I believe it was. Red Star Belgrade, sorry. They shot themselves in the foot in that game, and it was kind of an uphill battle. Yes, they had beaten Liverpool, but they just didn't have enough to get out of the group. I'm confident in this Napoli team. I said it when we made our predictions. I think they can get out of the group. Will they finish first? I mean, so far, so good. I think, they got the big, important win against Liverpool. And I think, this is year two under Ancelotti. And we all know Ancelotti is a world-class coach, world-class manager. So he's played, he's won pretty much everything. So, I mean, for me, I'm confident in Ancelotti, in his system. As I said, year two. So hopefully the Kings are out. But, also their big players got to step up. Insigne, Mertens, their big man up top, Llorente up top has been, lights out. I wasn't maybe the biggest fan of the move. I was kind of like, okay, yeah, it's a free, whatever. We'll see what he can do.
I didn't even expect him to be a starter, to be honest.
There you go. So, but at the same time, Napoli kind of did need that number nine. Milik in and out of the lineup, Mertens. He can definitely score, and he's up there in the history books, but
he's just not
that big target man that they kind of needed. Llorente comes in there, and he's lighting it up. I think we posted on our Instagram at the Calcio Guys. I think, was it three games, three goals, one assist in 133 minutes or something like that. So, Llorente has been a big, big help. And you saw it last week against Liverpool. Van Dijk, supposedly the best defender there is in the world, makes a bit of a boneheaded mistake and gives it back to Napoli. And who's there? Llorente. So, and he puts it back in the back of the net. So, for me, I'm confident in this Napoli team. I think they can do good things in the Champions League. I just hope that, under year two under Ancelotti, they can continue to work out the kinks and not shoot themselves in the foot going forward in this competition, because, as I said, I think they can do some pretty good things.
And Juventus, they had that 2-0 lead against Atletico Madrid. They come away with the point, which is a good result in essence. But the fact that they blew that 2-0 lead and the way that they did it with headers again seems like it's just a repeated story. They always get beat on the set pieces and aerial duels. You know, it was definitely frustrating to watch. They could have easily come out of Madrid with a win and full of confidence. But now that it's 2-2, you know, I think it's Lokomotiv that's first in the group. Okay, it is just one game, but they're going to have to bounce back starting next week against, I believe it's against Bayer Leverkusen at home. But we're going to get back on this Serie A, including Atalanta Fiorentina. Crazy finish.
Yeah.
After this short break here on the Calcio Guys on CJO 6090.
I am Claudia Rocks. I am strong. Hey, Julie Perry, are you strong?
Why, yes, I am strong. Hey, Big Pete, are you strong?
I am extra strong. How about you, Jerry?
Super strong. Gundam Seed Destiny?
For strongest.
We are strong together.
Tune in to Audio Pen Pals every second Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. on CGLO 6090 AM.
To get your dose of news and commentary from Montreal's differently abled community.
You're listening to CJLO Shoobidoop. You're listening to CJLO Shoobidoop. You're listening to CJLO.
Oh, yeah! CJLO! We got the soul! Oh, yeah! I can't
feel CJLO.
I can't feel it.
CJLO.
It's so smooth. We like sand, baby. Sand for your shit. CJLO!
Chiesa. Now, could there be a counter-attack on here? Chiesa needs to pick the pass. He's found Ribery! Brilliant goal! Franck Ribery's first in the purple of Fiorentina. Made by Chiesa. And finished expertly. It's Castagna! Right at the end! The last minute of added time! What a volley that was! What a way to equalise for Atalanta. They're all off the bench. They're all on the pitch.
What a crazy finish for Atalanta against Fiorentina. A game that had, as you heard, that Franck Ribery, amazing goal, that half volley that put them up 2-0. Not going to lie, Adriano, I was watching that game. And when I saw that, I said, okay, it's done. And I went up for lunch, finished lunch. Check the score, 2-2. I was shocked, but at the same time, I wasn't, because that's the most Fiorentina thing to do.
Unfortunately, this season and last season, I think in general, I think it's just been Fiorentina's thing. They can't buy a win, many people are saying on social media. So, I mean, the tie, another frustrating result, unlucky result for this Fiorentina team that, as I said prior, I'm really backing. I mean, again, I'm going to stress, I'm a big fan, big believer of the Comiso project over there in Fiorentina. So for me, it's another dent. Now they're all the way in last place. Again, it's still early in the season to say or to criticize, you know, to rip them to shreds there. But I think this is not obviously where they want to be. They had a last scare last year. This season was supposed to be a rebuild year and a year where, you know, they were new ownership, so new project, new vision. And I mean, the players that they were bringing in and the young talents that they have, I think it was definitely positive. But going into this game, going up 2-0 against a good Atalanta team that are, you know, Champions League team now, I mean, it was just, I'm like, okay, maybe, you know what, this game, maybe it'll be the game where, you know what, the luck is a bit on their side and they'll actually have enough to, you know, to close the game. Ribery getting his first with the Viola. So I was excited. I mean, it was an exciting time. And then what happens? They go down. It goes 2-1. Ilicic with a crazy goal. And then Castagna coming in, like, I think the 95th minute to get the equalizer to save a point for Atalanta. So, I mean, their defense still needs work. I still think the project, like Milan and like a lot of other teams that are, you know, a bit of a rebuild, I think it's a slower process that hopefully in the end will have a better result. So again, go back to work, going back to the drawing boards for Fiorentina and on to the next one.
And by the way, Sampdoria won this weekend.
Yeah.
And because Lecce won last weekend, Fiorentina is the only team left without a win.
Yeah, bottom of the table.
Bottom of the table, and they play against Udinese. Sorry, no. Who do they play this week? They actually play Sampdoria.
And then they play Milan on Sunday.
And then they play Milan. So not the easiest of schedules.
No.
So they first played Marco Giampaolo's former team, followed up by his current team.
Yeah.
And switching over now, Bologna-Roma, another game that had a crazy finish.
Crazy.
And, this is what it sounded like in Emilia-Romagna.
Look at this for a run from Veretout. Still has it, Pellegrini. Stands it up, and Dzeko's there, he can't miss. Roma have won it at Madrid. The fortress Dallara has been conquered.
Edin Dzeko, right at the end, another game I happened to be watching. And, you know, I really thought Bologna was actually going to pull out the last second goal. There was a lot of back and forth action in that one. Obviously, two goals right at the beginning of the second half. Kolarov on the free kick, and then I believe Sansone with the penalty. But Roma, hey, they won in Europa League. They were the only Italian team to win in Europa League after Lazio couldn't pull off the win in Cluj.
Oh, my God. Don't even get me started on that.
In Romania. One of those Europa League stadiums that you could see houses behind the net. Some guy was probably watching from his balcony.
For free.
For free.
Got good seats.
The Europa League match.
Yeah, and not bad.
Lazio couldn't even impress him. But Roma, big 4-0 win against Istanbul.
Yeah, I believe in Europa League. Basaka here, whatever. Yeah,
followed up by this win in Bologna. That's going to give them a lot of confidence.
I think so. I mean, that's what this Roma team needs. Again, another team, new coach in place, some new players coming into the system, a new philosophy, a new vision again. So Fonseca, I mean, not to say that we knew too much about him before. Obviously, we saw him a bit with Shakhtar, but yeah, I believe it was Shakhtar that he was with prior to Roma. So now, again, coming into Rome, it's a different city, different life, different league. So, I mean, for them, they need this confidence after what we've seen in the past by this Roma team. Obviously, you know, their defense is not anything too convincing, but at the same time, they have the quality, I think, to eke out wins against, I mean, a good Bologna team that has had this Mihajlovic fighting spirit from the beginning of the season. I mean, so I think it was a tough one for Bologna to swallow because how the game happened and how the game, you know, worked. I mean, beautiful free kick by Kolarov. I think he's only behind, I think it was Messi on free kicks for, I don't know, was it 2019, 2018?
Since the start of 2017,
2018. Since 2017, 2018. So, I mean, hats off to him. I mean, he's just on the free kick, dead spot, foul, whatever. He's by far one of the best. So, and then the crazy goal at the end by Dzeko in the 94th minute, another late winner this time in this game. So, I mean, I think it could have easily ended up as a draw in this game. Bologna would have been probably happy with that point. But, I mean, kudos to Roma. They got, I mean, with them too, it's one step at a time. It's not going to be easy going forward. Their defensive issues, I think, still need some work. But their midfield and, you know, their attackers, I'm pretty confident in. So and Pau Lopez in the back too, who's been, I mean, not really spoken about too much. They've had goalkeeping issues were there with Olsen last season, and it was kind of a mess. But I think Lopez has been doing a better job. So for that, I think it's a positive sign.
Can you guess how many games Roma has lost this year? You're on your phone.
No, okay, I'm not gonna look. Jesus, for some reason I think one, but I'm going to say zero just because they've been kind of better off this season.
Zero.
Yeah, it is zero. Okay.
That's actually a shocking number because their first game, 3-3 draw against Genoa,
okay,
probably
yeah.
felt like a loss.
True.
Week after, 1-1 draw against Lazio in the Derby,
yeah.
A game that they were dominated.
Yeah.
They were extremely lucky to come up with a point.
The post saved them, I remember.
Yeah, there were a lot of post-side games. And then they took the international break, and then they come back, win against Sassuolo, 4-2, win against Bologna at the end. So they had a rough start to the season, but they still haven't lost. And they're up there with Inter and Juve, the only teams who haven't lost. And, I mean, overall, that has to be a really positive sign. They are in fourth right now, so they just got to keep that momentum going. The other Roman team, Lazio, they won 2-0 against
Parma. Yeah.
Coming off the 2-1 loss at Spal. They're actually below Roma in the standings now. But I saw an interesting fact. Ciro Immobile scored in the game.
Yeah, in the 8th minute.
In the 8th minute. His first goal from open play at home since November 2018 against Spal.
Wow.
In the Serie A. I'm sorry, but for your number one striker for Lazio, that's unacceptable. You expect more goals from open play, not just on penalties. Okay, yeah, sure, these are only the home goals, and he has scored road goals, but especially at home, you want your best players to come out and perform. And he just has to do a better job of finishing.
We've had, Immobile has had this kind of aura around him with his finishing issue with the Italian national team. And especially if we want to go forward with maybe Immobile as one of the names going forward in that attack, I think it starts at the club level, obviously. He scores all kinds of goals, as we know. But a style like that, it's a bit... a bit of a jab, you know. It's like a bit like a kick to the nuts, if I can say. You know, a little jab below the belt, because he's such a talented player. I think he's a good striker, and I'm an Immobile fan. But to see a stat like that, it's like, as you said, you're at home. You know, you would think that you have the advantage in your home stadium, it's a beautiful stadium like the Olimpico. So I mean, it's a bit worrisome, but at the same time, we know he can score. So I think that'll be, you know, just a stat that it's up there. We'll talk about it, but it'll hopefully fizzle out going forward. But he definitely needs to show up, especially at home for this Lazio team, a team that obviously wants to get into Europe. Champions League for sure. They've been stuck in the Europa League these past couple of seasons, so I think their ambitions, their goals would obviously, they probably would settle for Europa League, but obviously, Champions League would be that cherry on top. So a guy like him, Luis Alberto, SMS, these guys, they got to get going. And I think Immobile can't do it all on his own, but at the same time, he's got to step up, as you said, as well.
And so, as we said before, the Serie A is having one of their rare midweek match days.
Yeah.
I both like and don't like, as we've discussed on the show before.
Yeah.
Because it's nice to have that option to watch soccer.
Of course.
But also when you're working and you're in school, you can't exactly do it, on top of watching already the midweek matches for Champions League.
Yeah.
But it's fine. Extra soccer tomorrow, Inter Lazio at 3, Thursday, Torino Milan. But I think for teams, this is now one of the early challenges. Because when they started the season, they had those first two games, international break, whatever injuries, problems you had with your team, you could just work out. Now it's really go, go, go time.
It is. And again, this is a midweek game with midweek, like for the teams that are in Europe, this is just like another added obstacle, that's thrown their way, because they have to worry about this midweek game. Then they got to worry about either their Champions League matchup or their Europa League matchup, and then their weekend fixture in the Serie A. So it's a heavy load. Obviously they have these midweek fixtures throughout the season, but I think it starts there though. I mean, they got a depth really shows and really shines in these moments, and I think the managers that have their tactics along with, their rotation of players really shine in these moments. So it's going to be a tough test for pretty much all the teams there, but I think maybe just a bit added to the teams that are in Europe.
I think it's an added test for the teams that aren't in Europe, because for the European teams, they know what it's like to play these midweek games and they have that depth available to them.
No, for sure. But I mean, not everybody has the Juve depth, right? Juve has a certain depth, yeah, right? Not every team has that. So that's what I'm trying to, stress.
Very true. But also, for the bottom feeder teams, imagine a team like Spal, Lecce, Verona, they don't have any B team. They pretty much got their 11 guys. Okay, sure, they have a bench, but not a very talented one. So when they have to play these midweek games and these guys are playing on Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday again, that's a real challenge for those guys versus Juventus. Hey, even Juventus, even Napoli, Inter too, they're going to come out this week and they're going to play a lot of their bench guys and they're still going to have a good result. Juventus going without Cristiano Ronaldo. You know, Chesney rested on the weekend. Hey, it was good to see Gigi Buffon back in the Serie A. He actually had a really good game against Verona. Had a nice stop, a couple of nice stops at the end.
That Veloso goal, though. Yeah, amazing. Well, I had to say that.
Beautiful goal. And he's actually been really good for Verona this year.
Yeah.
Still tied between Verona and Udinese. That was a crazy sequence of events because the penalty hit the post, rebound hit the post, and then play continued. And then finally, Veloso hit the goal, scored the goal. And as we're going to do here on the Calcio Guys, we are going to continue the show right after the break. We're going to hit you with the red card, yellow card of the week.
MVPs.
We're going to get a card each this week since it's just me and you.
Yep.
And MVP of the week here on the Calcio Guys on CJO 1690.
Boost your resume by studying abroad and get that dream job. Don't miss the Study and Go Abroad Fair on Thursday, October 3rd at the Palais de Congrès de Montréal. Admission is free. The expo opens at 3 p.m., but come as early as 2 p.m. to catch the feature seminar. For more information, check out our website, www.studyandgoabroad.com.
Art? We can pop it. Indie? We can pop that too. Dream, synth, chamber, pop, pop, pop. Rock, it's already been pop.
The rest of us goes pop. Same awkward host, new concept and time. Tune in Tuesdays at 7 p.m. for the best new music in all pop subgenres. Only on CJLO 1690 AM.
We're going to have so many feelings.
C'est quoi ces stations CJLO? C'est quoi ça, hein?
Oh, CJLO! Station collage, hein?
Collège, hein? C'est quoi ça?
Vous... Concordia!
Université.
Ouais.
Montréal.
Ouais.
Québec. CJLO.
Welcome back to the Calcio Guys on CJO 1690. As we do every week, we become the referees of the Serie A. We get the FIGC badge. We get a VAR with us. No, we don't get any VAR. I wish we had VAR in this studio. We have a computer. Does that count as VAR?
I don't know. That computer would be punched many times if we had the VAR in this studio here in this beautiful, actually not a beautiful day in Montreal, but nonetheless we're back. So,
okay, so you take it away. We got a yellow card and a red card this week.
Well, I mean, my red card is going straight back to that Derby della Madonnina. I'm going to give my red card to Gianpaolo, to Milan in general, showing up to the Derby in a complete shambles. No positives I really took away from this game. The player selection from Gianpaolo to the tactics to just, I mean, not being convincing going forward in the final third. And I mean, as I mentioned prior, the only sort of bright spots, I guess you can say, was maybe Leao and Donnarumma in the back there. But once again, this is not where this team wants to be. I think they are a bit behind. I mean, again, this is another team that new coach, new philosophy, new system. So it'll definitely take time, but you know, you look across the street to your cousins there at Inter and what Conte is doing over there. You know, it's a new coach, new philosophy, but he's getting the job done. So it's a tough pill to swallow for Milan fans all over the world. But I think, for me, it's definitely going to be a red card, Gianpaolo, and just Milan showing up to the Derby in a complete mess. But I think, you know, piano, piano, I think slowly, hopefully things will change and, you know, we'll get positives going forward. But this week, definitely a red card.
And it's a red card.
So that's a red card for you. Okay, I want to have you listen to this sequence of events.
Go for it.
In Cagliari, Genoa.
And now it looks set to be a point apiece. Cross in, however. Oh, it's an own goal just seconds later. And Cagliari retake the lead. And well, football, you just can't predict what's going to happen.
Okay, so
at first I thought you were going to go with the names again. I was going to get a little bit like, okay, Nick, take it easy with the names. You know what? They're English. They don't know the Italian language very well. But I'm surprised that it's not that this week.
Well, there wasn't any names butchered.
Yeah, I know. As soon as you said, oh, look at this, I was like, oh my God, the names are going to come back. I could already smell it, but go on.
but I do have to criticize the commentator.
Yeah, we can't. We hate to see this.
Okay, because in Calgary-Genoa, Christian Kwame tied the game for Genoa in the 83rd minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
1-1 it was, right?
1-1.
Yeah.
Okay. When it's the 83rd minute, there's still 7 minutes left to play.
Plus extra stoppage time. Yeah.
Okay. Game's not over. Commentator said, you heard it there at the beginning, oh, it looks like it's going to be a draw. Just because that's how soccer works. And I'm not going to criticize only this commentator. It's become like, I wouldn't say a systematic issue.
It's a phenomenon across all sports.
Just soccer,
no,
I find.
No, because I'll quickly, just to cut you off, this reminds me of if anybody watches NFL football, when the kicker is about to line up for a kick, and they say, oh, he should have this. It's a 35-yard field goal. And what happens? He misses. So that, to me, the announcers biting their tongue a bit happens in pro sports all over.
Okay, so announcers taking advantage or trying to predict.
Yeah, trying to be a hero, yeah.
And so here the announcer says, it's tied, and right away, Christian Zapata scores an own goal. And then the commentator says, oh, you can never predict anything in football.
Just contradict yourself.
in the matter of like 30 seconds, too. Yeah. You know, so it's just funny to listen to, I guess. I mean, the only sport where I find that doesn't happen is hockey. You know, it happens the most in obviously soccer, where like a team will go up 1-0 in like the 5th minute, and they're like, wow, this is the dream start. They're on their way to victory. Like,
yeah, okay, relax.
Also calm.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to give a red card. I'm just going to give a yellow card for that.
This is definitely going to be another yellow.
So you're yellow card now.
We're getting one card each, or you said we're getting one card each, or we're going to go two. What do you want to do? I think we should
one color card each. That's what I meant.
Oh, me. Okay. So my yellow card.
Okay,
I'll go with the yellow card because I'm still thinking here.
I'm going to give a red card to a team that has already had 3 red cards in the first 4 matches, and that's Verona. this time, I forget who it was. Let me just pull that up. They got a red card against Juventus, Kumbula for Verona. 3-4. That's unacceptable for a team that wants to fight for a spot in the Serie A next season, wants to fight for the top 17. And if you're Verona's coach, if you're Verona's fan, it's frustrating too to constantly be down 10 men. This card came later in the game, but the other two were pretty early in the game. And then you got to think about suspended players, and you're losing your fair play points. So it's a red card for all these red cards for Verona.
Could be a red card. The red card is out.
And it's no surprise. Absolutely is against the rules.
You gotta love that. So for me, yellow card of the week this week, I had now two in mind. Since we spoke about it a bit before with the Fiorentina shocking, I guess, or not shocking, however you want to look at it, tie against Atalanta, I'll stay away from that game. I'll go to Torino in general, losing this week obviously against Samp 1-0 due to a goal by Gabbiadini for Samp, and last week on, what was it, Monday, losing to Lecce 2-1. I think Torino, you know, a good team. I just think I'm going to give a small yellow card just for their performance, because that's two games where I think they could have gotten maximum points and shot themselves in the foot a bit, especially against Lecce. Obviously, no knock to Lecce, but a newly promoted team, Torino, who's been doing a lot better, I would have expected a positive result. And then Samp, I mean, you never knew what you're going to get with Samp, I think, over this weekend, but you know, they got the win in rainy Genoa. So for me, small yellow card just for Torino's play and lack of capitalizing on their opportunities, and where I think they should have gotten maximum points.
Yellow card here.
So that's it. We gave out our cards for the week.
Yep.
Fans are complaining. And now we're going to be nice and give our MVPs of the week. I'm going to give it to one of our favorite players here on the show. I think you know where I'm going here. Chicho Caputo.
Yes, sir.
The former Empoli striker who scored 2 goals against Spal. One of his goal celebrations, he flipped over the advertising.
You take that
board.
You see that spadaccio that he took. He went over the boards there. As it looked like he was. I don't even know what had happened there.
And he caught up right away. So
yeah,
good for him. And you know what? When I saw that he was getting transferred to Sassuolo, I was a bit worried that he wouldn't really get playing time. But He's, you know, their number nine now. He's getting the minutes. He's scoring goals. He's not. It's, you can't really consider him a one season wonder anymore. At least if he continues like this for the next little while.
Yeah.
Maybe he could get a consideration for a call up to the national team.
Maybe.
Obviously, they need someone scoring goals, and Chicho Caputo is definitely one of them.
Chip forward, but Adi the chest by Caputo! Wonderful second goal! Francesco Caputo.
You, Adriano?
Yeah, so for me, I guess I'll fill in Johnny's place here. Just a little job to Johnny. I'm gonna go for his boy, Federico Chiesa. This week, I think had a good performance. Got the goal and got the assist on Ribery's first for Fiorentina. So
goal was actually taken away from him and given as an own goal.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was still listed as a goal for him. No. Okay, but nonetheless, I think
he created the chance.
He created the chance, obviously, and he got the assist for Ribery, as I said. So. Again, we all know he's talented. We had our debate last week on him, and just throughout this whole show since we started, I think he has been a talking point. So, but for me, I mean, I think, and I know he's, you know, he's promising, and he has, I hope, has what it takes that can bring this Fiorentina team to new heights. But I think it is a project, as I said. So for me, I mean, just his overall play this week, and you know, just as of late, I think merits a bit of an MVP this week.
And so, by the way, Verona Udinese just finished 0-0, the ever-exciting 0-0 scoreline.
Yeah.
Listen to these stats. So, Verona had 13 shots, 4 on target. Udinese, 11, 3 on target. Okay, fine. You look down, Udinese had 20 fouls. Verona only had 5. 4 yellow cards for Udinese, 0 for Verona.
Shocking.
But Verona had 4 offsides. Compared to Udinese 0, possession 56-44 in favor of the host Verona. And yeah, like you said, shocking that Verona actually didn't get any red cards, any yellow cards at all. Yeah. And that's a nasty game by Udinese.
Nah, another snooze fest. I mean, chalk it up as what you're going to take it. But I mean, wasn't expecting much from that game, unfortunately. But the exciting one is the next one, 3 o'clock Eastern time, so in a couple minutes, Brescia Juve, Balotelli getting his debut for his hometown club. Up top with Donnarumma. I think that could do some good things, hopefully some damage. I mean, I'm rooting for them. I don't see why not. And I mean, I'm just excited. Hopefully, I'm just hoping for Balotelli to score. Just to get back to the player that we know he once was, and hopefully after that maybe get into the Italian national team.
And obviously the game of the week now is Lazio Inter, or is it Inter Lazio?
Inter Lazio.
Yeah, because it's at the San Siro.
Yeah.
There's actually some good games middle of the week. Torino Milan, Fiorentina Sampdoria in past years has been a good game, but now it's bottom of the table game.
Roma Atalanta
definitely that finished 3-3 last August. So yep. It's been over a year since Atalanta's been to the Olympico to play Roma.
Yeah.
This weekend, Sampdoria hosts Inter. Juventus hosts Spal. Sassuolo hosts Atalanta.
Milan-Fiorentina.
Milan-Fiorentina. Parma-Torino. So it's not too big of a weekend. But like we said before, a lot of calcio coming up. But Inter Lazio is going to be a fantastic game. Obviously, a big challenge for Lazio.
Big challenge for Lazio, and I think a big challenge for Inter as well. I mentioned it, I think, last week or the week before. Before the derby, I mean, their road to where they are now was, I think, a bit of a walk in the park. Now they had their first, I think, I guess I want to say challenges because I'm a Milan fan in the derby this past weekend, and now another tough test against Lazio, and I believe they play Juve coming up shortly as well.
October 6th.
In the coming weeks, the last
game before international break.
Exactly. So I mean, I think these. I mean, yes, okay. Again, they're 4-0. They're on top of the table. Everybody's loving it. Conte. Well, everybody loves Conte. Everybody loves the system, but it's these next couple of games where they're going to have a bit tougher tests against top quality teams is where I think, you know, their true team will show and their true colors will show. So I think, I mean, yes, positive signs for Inter, but I think coming up is where it's going to be, is we're going to be do or die.
So if Inter tied Slavia Prague and then Inter beat Milan, does that mean Slavia Prague is better than Milan?
No, absolutely not. because...
Well, I mean, Slavia Prague is in the Champions League. Milan isn't.
Yeah, but where do they play?
Czech Republic. But they're in the Champions League. They had to qualify for it.
Who's name me another Czech Republic team. Yeah, he's on this guy's on the computer. You can't name me a team, so let's not even go there, or else I'm going to get heated here. but yeah, definitely exciting times for Calcio.
Pleasant. That's one.
Pleasant?
Yeah.
You didn't even know
they,
that.
They played Roma last year.
Okay, fine. Europa League. Okay, fine. But no, I mean, as you said, exciting times for Calcio up until when? Next Sunday, as you said, or Sunday after that, whatever it is. Definitely follow us on our social medias at the Calcio Guys, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.